జయం విష్ణు పార పరహంస పరిచార్య అష్టతర శిష్ణు పక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి గోస్వామి మహారాజ ప్రభుపాదికి అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవునికి నామాచారేశ్వర హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ్ సిద్ధ హో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైతికి రాధా శివ శ్రీ గౌరభక్తవృందికి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపీనాథ్ శ్యామకుందు రారకుండి గిరిగోవనానికి రజభూమి శ్రీ బృందావృందానికి శ్రీ నవదీప్ మాయపూర్ణానికి పురుషోత్తమ క్షేత్ర శ్రీ జగన్నాథపురిదానికి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయకి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సమవేత భక్తి బృందికి జానితా గౌప్రేమనాన్ని our God is to be some of the glories. All God is to be some of the glories. All God is to be some of the glories. All God is to the Lord's feet, Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, O Premanande. Before I start speaking from the Bhagavatam, I'd like to request with as much sincerity as I can muster up the blessings of the assembled devotees, especially the god sisters and god brothers of my spiritual master, my spiritual aunties and uncles. I feel embarrassed to speak in front of you, but please give me a blessing that I may speak something to inspire you in your Krishna consciousness. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय टुडे वी विल बी रीडिंग फ्रॉम चैप्टर 17 of the 4th canto, continuing on with the pastime of Prithvi Maharaj, becoming angry with and chastising the earth. We'll do the verse on the board first, then I'll read the previous verses and then go into the purport of today's verse.
Uvacha cha mahabhagam Dharma-gyapanna-vatsala Trahi-mam-api-bhutanam Palane-vastito-bhavan Uvacha-cha-mahabhagam Dharma-gyapanna-vatsala Kaimam-api-bhutanam Palane-vastito-bhavan Uvacha-cha-mahabhagam Dharma-gyapanna-vatsala Raimam api bhutanam Palane vastito bhavan. Vacha cha mahabhagam Dharmane panavatsala Vacha cha mahabhagam Karmagya panavatsala Sayumam api bhutana
Vacha cha mahabhagam Matajis. Text 15 now. Tam anvadavatar vanya kupito charunekshanaha sharang dhanushi sandaya yatra yatra palayate. Seeing this, Maharaj Prithu became very angry and his eyes became as red as the early morning sun. Placing an arrow on his bow, he chased the cow-shaped earth wherever she would run. Text 16. Sadisho vidisho devi Rogasi chantaram tayoho davanti tatra tatrayanam tadashanudhita yudham. The cow-shaped earth ran here and there in outer space between the heavenly planets and the earth, and wherever she ran, the king chased her with his bow and arrows. Text 17. Lokena vinda tatranam vainyam vityo iva prajaha trastatada nivavitte. Just as a man cannot escape the cruel hands of death, the cow-shaped earth could not escape the hands of the son of Vena. At length, the earth, fearful, her heart aggrieved, turned back in helplessness. And today's verse. Vachata mahabhagam dharma gyapanna vatsala traimam api bhutanam palane bastito bhavan. So we'll do the word for word now. Uvacha, she said. Cha, and Mahabhagam, unto the fortunate. Excuse me, unto the great, fortunate king. Dharmagya, O knower of the principles of religion. Apanna Vatsala, O shelter of the surrendered. Trahi, save. Mam, me. Api, indeed. Bhutanam, of living entities. Palane, in protection. Avastita, situated. Bhavan, your majesty. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Addressing the great opulent King Prithu as the knower of religious principles and the shelter of the surrendered, she said, please save me, you are the protector of all living entities. Now you are situated as the king of this planet. Please repeat. Addressing the great opulent King Prithu as the knower of religious principles and shelter of the surrendered, she said, please save me. You are the protector of all living entities. Now you are situated as the king of this planet. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The cow-shaped earth addressed King Prithu as Dharma Gyan, which refers to one who knows the principles of religion. The principles of religion dictate that a woman, a cow, a child, a brahmana, and an old man must be given protection by the king or anyone else. Consequently, Mother Earth took the shape of a cow. She was also a woman. Thus she appealed to the king as one who knows the principles of religion. Religious principles also dictate that one is not to be killed if he surrenders. She reminded King Prithu that not only was he an incarnation of God, but he was situated as the king of the earth as well. Therefore his duty was to excuse her.
Uvachacha mahabhagam dharma gyapanna vatsala traimam api bhutanam palane vastito bhavan.
Addressing the great opulent king Prithu as the knower of religious principles and shelter of the surrendered, she said, "Please save me. You are the protector of all living entities, and now you are situated as the king of this planet."
Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjala Shalakya Chakshirtun Malitamina Tasmaya Shri Guruvena Shri Chaitanya Mano Ishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Gadati Swapadam Pancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubi Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaura Bhakti Linga Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Chaitanya Swaminiti Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatupesha Tarine.
Just to place this entire event in context, Maharaj Prithu has reciprocated by giving thanks and blessings and praises to all the Brahmins and sages and priests who had assembled at his coronation. Viduraji expresses his keen interest to hear more about the pastimes of Krishna. This inspiration in turn inspires Maitreya Rishi to speak more about the pastimes of Krishna. So there's further reciprocation there in terms of eagerness to hear and to speak Bhagavatam. Maitreya Muni then goes on to explain the situation of the citizens who were at that time very afflicted by hunger and was skinny and starving due to a lack of grain. Maharaj Prithu's response is very exemplary and gives further indication of his remarkable character. It is described in previous verses that first Maharaj Prithu contemplated for a very long time. This is Prabhupada's exact words. And then he acted decisively. Although the earth took the shape of a cow to avoid chastisement, Prithu Maharaj was steadfast in his determination to carry out this action, his decided plan. So today, we will look at the outcome or further development of this chase scene. Let us consider some of the words that the earth used in addressing Maharaj Prithu, because they are very choice words and they are meant to invoke certain emotions in Maharaj Prithu. The first Sanskrit term is dharma gya, know of the religious principles. So before I continue with this, there's three parts to my class today. The first part is the use of Mother Earth's words. The second part is going to explain different types of ways in which people approach not showing their true intentions firstly, but later on it is revealed. There's two examples from Bhagavatam on that. And the final part of this presentation will be a personal application of all that we have heard in class today, time permitting. So dharma gya means know of principles of religion. Prabhupada says in the purport that a woman, a cow, a child, and a Brahmin, and an old man must all be given protection. We'll take one example from that list, is a woman. Shastra declares
the Vedic scriptures declare that at all stages a woman has to be protected. In a young age, she is given the shelter of her father, who takes care of her needs, etc., grows her up, rears her. Then at a suitable age, she is married, husband takes care of her every need. And then, in the absence of the husband, when he probably either passes away or leaves the household to take vanaprastha and sannyas, then the mother, lady, is meant to be taken care of by her grown-up sons. So at all stage, the woman is to be protected. So in two ways, of the seven types of mothers, the earth is one type of mother, and she assumed the form of another mother, which is a cow, just to invoke some emotions from Maharaj Parikshit, Maharaj Pritha. The next Sanskrit term is Appana Vatsala, shelter of the surrendered. This is to invoke Maharaj Prithu's feelings of duty and understanding of religious principles. Prabhupada himself says in the purport, religious principles also dictate that one is not to be killed if he surrenders. We see this in many pastimes. One which I chose to describe today is contained in the Ramayana. There's an example there of even a demoniac personality from a family of demons, Vibhishan. So Vibhishan was not in the same frame of mind as his brother Ravan. They were brothers, blood brothers. But Vibhishan was more, he's a sattvic demon. He was more inclined to worship in terms of the Shastras. And he was also very much against the concept of Ravana kidnapping Sita by force and trying to enjoy her. And he identified and recognized the authority of Lord Ramachandra as a supreme personality of Godhead. Knowing this, he knew that whatever Ravana tried to do, his attempts at war will fail. And Ravana himself will eventually be killed. So out of compassion and care for his brother, he advised him to return Sita. He did this on many occasions, until the extent that Ravana was quite irritated. He had tolerated Vibhishan's suggestions for a very long time. Then it came to a point where it was the last straw that broke the camel's back. And Ravana, even though it was his brother, could tolerate no more. He says, "You leave this place immediately. If you were not my brother, I would have had you killed or cut out your tongue." So Vibhishan happily left and he sought the shelter of Lord Ramachandra. It's described in the Ramayana by Krishna Dharma Prabhu that Vibhishan flew to where Lord Ramachandra was assembled with all the monkey soldiers. And upon seeing that, the monkey soldiers became very suspicious. "Oh, this demon, maybe he's come to kill Ram secretly before the war even begins." So immediately the defenses were up, their suspicions were raised. However, although most of the monkey soldiers were against accepting Vibhishan because he came to surrender to Lord Ramachandra, one stood out in opposition, and that was Hanumanji. Lord Ramachandra didn't act alone. We will speak about this later also. He didn't act alone, meaning that he requested the monkey soldiers for their opinion. "What do you think we should do about this situation?" Major leaders like Sugriv and Angad says, "Kill him immediately. He's a demon. He's come to kill us. We should kill him before he can do anything to us." But the one and only person who said, "No, give him a chance. He's come in peace. He's risked being killed by all of us to seek our shelter, and we should give him shelter." So taking this into consideration, Ramachandra accepted the proposal of Hanuman, and Vibhishan was accepted. Then Lord Ramachandra made a very interesting statement, which I can read for you. "If a person comes to me saying, 'I am yours only once,' then I shall give him courage and protection from all danger forever after. This is my solemn vow made here before you all. even if Ravana himself came before me, I would not refuse him shelter. Bring Vibhishan here, for I have already granted him safety." So this is the broad vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we can clearly see this broad vision exhibited by our founder Acharya. Prabhupada's mercy is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. It is deathless. It is limitless. Nobody knows the bounds of Lord Srila Prabhupada's mercy. We should not underestimate Srila Prabhupada's mercy. There are many instances where devotees had probably left the movement, and at the last moment, just before death, Prabhupada may appear to them in a dream, or they have some contact with Krishna consciousness to stir up some remembrance of Krishna consciousness, and at the time of death, they remember Krishna. This is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. It's unlimited. Further Sanskrit words used are Api Bhutanam Palane, the protector of all living entities. The duty of the Kshatriya king is to give shelter and protection to his praja, or his citizens, subjects under his care. The cow being one of the citizens, cow-shaped earth, was appealing to this aspect of Maharaj Pritha. Please give me shelter. The next Sanskrit term, final one I will discuss now, is Vastita Bhavan, which means that Pritha Maharaj was situated as the king, and it is the duty of the king to give protection to this praja. So all of these words used by the cow-shaped earth have an intention. There's a purpose behind them. And the purpose is to invoke some emotion within Lord Maharaj Prithu. However, we see from Maharaj Prithu's response to her prayers, he was unfazed. At the beginning of this class, I mentioned Maharaj Prithu had contemplated for some time, thinking what is the best thing to do. Then he made a decision, and then he carried out steadfastly, unwavering in his decision. As this pastime unveils itself, we'll come to further descriptions of how the cow-shaped earth became even more afraid because of the response of Maharaj Prithu. Initially she was fearful and she prayed, she thinking that her prayers, assuming of the shape of the cow, that'll be enough to pacify Maharaj Prithu. But as we read on, we see that even so many prayers of the cow, heartfelt prayers according to the principles of Dharma, failed to invoke the compassionate side of Maharaj Prithu. So I thought that I'll have a look at one of the main themes of this verse, which is principles of religion. We know that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna states his purpose in making his advent on the earth. That's yada yadahi dharmasya and Paritraya Sadhanam Vinash. These are chapter 4, text 7 and 8. My brain just froze. So anyway, in these verses, Krishna is stating his purpose, which is to re-establish the principles of religion, to protect the devotees and to deliver the devotees and to annihilate the miscreants. And Prabhupada says in this verse that principles of religion are not man-made. Dharma tu sakshat bhagavatam bhagavat pranitam. That means the laws governing man are created by God. Real dharma is created by God. Dharma tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. It is furthermore said that there's two types of dharma. There's asat dharma and sat dharma. Asat dharma is mainly according to the rules of the Vedas, which explain certain rituals that one must do mainly under the karma kanda section. But this is not the ultimate purpose of the Vedas. The ultimate purpose of the Vedas is stated in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 15, text 15, where Krishna explains Virascha Sarvayam Eva Vedya, that he, by all the Vedas, he is to be known. He is the know of the Vedas, and the ultimate end of the Vedas is to understand him. Yes. So, a study of the Vedas in depth will be fruitless if it doesn't conclude in understanding and concluding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and carrying out his ultimate request. That ultimate request is given in the 18th chapter, text 66, Sarva Dharman Parityajan, Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja, Aham Tam Sarva Papyabhyo Mokshayishami Ma Shataha. Krishna says that the various types of dharmas that you have been performing thus far, my dear Arjun, you please give up. Parityajan. And what else? Mam Ekam Sharanam Rajan. Take shelter of me alone. So in a class recently, the last class that His Holiness Bhakti Charo Maharaj gave here in Mayapur, he spoke about this Sarva Dharma Paritya, this verse 1866. And Maharaj mentioned that Krishna is saying, abandon all these other dharmas, and your real dharma is to follow this Aham Sarvasya, Aham Tam Sarva Papyabhyo Moksha, that you follow Krishna's dharma. He's saying abandon this, but he's giving you an alternative. Krishna consciousness as a process is so perfect that the problems and difficulties and dilemmas that one can possibly face in every aspect of your life is mentioned in the scripture, alongside which is mentioned the solution to such problems. So Krishna is mentioning all these dharmas, kick them out, but here's the alternative. So it's a very scientific process. Many times Srila Prabhupada mentioned that Krishna consciousness is more of a science rather than a religion. So I thought that was the main aspect to be discussed in the purport, was this principles of religion. Another consideration we could look at is when individuals, in this case the cow-shaped earth, approached Maharaj Prithu, she did so with a mask, with a covered-up image of herself. So I thought that image of covered-up behavior, something camouflaged, something secretive, something hidden, that is something we can address and discuss today. So the first personality I thought of from the Bhagavatam was Putana. So we know that when Putana received her order from Kamsa, she was extremely large, hideous looking. You know, it's described by Srila Prabhupada in the Krishna book that when Putana was eventually killed by Krishna, her body was 12 miles long. And the size of her breasts were like mountains, and the belly was like a dried up well, and her thighs were the bank of two caves. She was massive. But she transformed that hideous self into a very beautiful form. So beautiful that the residents of Vraj thought that the goddess of fortune herself had come. This is the reason Putana was able to enter the household of Nanda Maharaj unimpeded. What to speak of enter the household, she was even allowed to go into the innermost chambers where the baby was being nursed. And then she expressed a desire to offer her breast milk to the Lord, and both Rohini and Yashoda were there. They did not protest. Oh yes, please, goddess of fortune, you should feed. But her intention was very sinister. Her intention, although externally seemed motherly, she wanted to give some breast milk to the Lord, her inner motive, her hidden agenda, was to kill Krishna. So she had smeared on her nipple a very potent poison. Krishna sucked this poison and her breast milk. So Krishna received service from Putana. I'll come back to that point a little later. After Krishna sucked out the poison and the breast milk from Putana's breast, he then proceeded to suck out her very life. And Putana became extremely distressed by that. She started to scream and wail and flay her arms around. But Krishna did not refrain. He continued, he clung on. He stayed steadfast in what he was going to do. And he killed her. And while she was dying, she assumed her original form. So we can draw from this point in the pastime of Putana that whatever hidden agenda somebody may have, if that person is faced with the Supreme Personality of Godhead or a bona fide representative, that farce or that cover-up will never exist. Truth will always prevail, simply because that is the nature of truth. If somebody is dishonest for 10 days, 9 days he may get away, but on the 10th day he will be caught. So there's no question of hiding from Krishna's vision, because Krishna is everywhere, his eyes are everywhere. When Krishna sucked the breast milk from Putana, he also received some service from her. And also that was completely not her intention at all, but he perceived it as service. And his reciprocation was 100%. She may have had a fraction of a percent of good intention, but Krishna's reciprocation was 100%. What is that? Her destination was Gayatri. She became a nurse. He granted her the position of mother in the spiritual world. When Uddhava heard this, he was astonished. And he mentions it in the third canto, that how can I give up the shelter of one so merciful that he gave mercy to this witch who came to kill him, and he gave her the position of mother. So Uddhava was astonished. How can this be? Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur analyzes different demons in Vrindavan and the anartas they represent. The anarta represented by the demoness Putana is pseudo-guru. Pseudo-guru means a false guru. So there's two aspects to pseudo-guruship. The pseudo-guru may be a person who's taking the position or post of a spiritual authority like a guru, but doesn't have the adhikar to give shelter which he is seemingly offering. First one. The second one, the second pseudo-guru, which most devotees deal with, and I include myself in that number, is the mind. Sri mind, uvacha. So the mind is always giving many, many intelligent proposals, which after some consideration with our intelligence, which meant to guide the mind, we think, what? But if one is not fixed in one's intelligence, Jai Shatru Mahaboho, in the third chapter, in the end of the third chapter, 342, Krishna says that the senses and mind can be controlled by cultivating intelligence, transcendental knowledge. Then the mind may be controlled. Otherwise, you're having a very incapable guide in the form of the mind. It's a pseudo-guru. Because mind will tell you, oh, it is 6 o'clock, you've been chanting so hard, you need a break, your eyes are getting heavy now, please take rest. And you say, yes, mind, actually you're very thoughtful, let me take rest. Or alternatively, it'll tell you, you're so hungry, go to Mahaprasadam store, buy something, eat, nourish yourself. After all, you must keep body and soul together. And you think, yes, mind, that makes a lot of sense. But Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur advises us otherwise. He says that the mind is to be beaten 100 times in the morning with a stick. And the mind may howl very loudly, but you should continue to beat this mind until it quietens down. And not that the morning program and the japa that we do during the morning is the sum and substance of our chanting. It should not be like that. Because there's a point of trying to get our rounds over and done with. It's a danger we may face as devotees sometimes. Just trying to get our 16 rounds done. Hare Krishna, we should avoid this. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur further says that in the evening we should beat the mind 100 times with a shoe. So be merciless on the mind. This is how you cure the problem of the mind. Then I consider another personality from the Bhagavatam. That's Kali, the personality of Kali. When the personality of Kali when Parikshit Maharaj approached the scene where Kali was beating on the leg of the bull of Dharma, one remaining leg out of the four, other four were broken by him. He saw that this was obviously a Sudra, but his clothes, his external appearance, looks like a king. So Prabhupada says something very interesting in the purport. I thought I'll read to you. Prabhupada says, the principal sign of the age of Kali is that lower caste Sudras, i.e. men without Brahmanical culture and spiritual initiation, will be dressed like administrators or kings. And the principal business of such non-Kshatriya rulers will be to kill the innocent animals, especially the cows and the bulls, who shall be unprotected by their masters, the bona fide Vaishyas, the mercantile community. This is from the purport of Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 17, Text 1. In his class yesterday, His Grace Sankarsha Nittai was mentioning how cow killing is becoming so prominent. Even in India, slaughterhouses are being maintained. And in the past, India, this tract of land, Bharatvarsha, was renowned for its upholding of the principles of religion. Now it's the site of so much of cow killing. When Maharaj Parikshit realized who Kali was, he threatened him. You are hurting this innocent creature, why are you doing this? And he threatened him with violence, threatened to kill him. Kali's facade had failed. So still, he appealed to the Lord for mercy. He threw himself at the mercy of the Lord. And in today's verse, we see that the cow-shaped earth is doing the same thing. She has tried her level best to put on a facade to convince Maharaj Prithu not to hurt her. It has failed. So in desperation, she turns around seeking for help and surrendering. Both Kali and Mother Earth, in the context of this verse, are guilty, because Mother Earth is described as withholding seeds and grains and herbs within herself. If you read on further in this section, you will see that. And then thus, Maharaj Prithu is justified to demand those products to sustain the praja, the citizens. However, we will see as the pastime unfolds, there is a reason why she doesn't yield those seeds. I will not spoil the future classes, let those speakers speak on it. But we will see that her action was justified. The third part of my talk today, I thought I'll speak about how this all relates to us as devotees. We sometimes have an experience of personally being affected by it, or maybe you see it in other devotees, that there has a tendency to have hidden agendas. We tend not to put masks on or cover our real intentions. This is not so much that because devotees are abominable, it's just the nature of conditioned existence. We try to put on an image of being better than who we really are. This is pointed out, especially the craving for name and fame, in a book called Sri Mana Shiksha by Raghunath Das Goswami. And like I mentioned earlier, when some problem is mentioned in Krishna consciousness, some difficulty, some anartha, there's always the solution given. So the solution to deal with the desire for name and fame, which is described to be like taking bath in the urine of an ass. Imagine you in a hot summer's day, like we are in today, sticky, hot, you go under the shower, cow urine. That's what it is like to desire and hanker for name and fame, to bathe in the urine of an ass. Not cow urine, urine of an ass. This can be eradicated by service to the spiritual master and the pure devotees, and through the process of pure devotional service. What is pure devotional service? The definition is given in an act of devotion. Anya bilasita shunyam jnana karmada abritam anukulena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. Uttama bhakti, the highest bhakti, pure bhakti, is that which is devoid of desires for fruitive results, devoid of karma, devoid of jnana and ulterior motives, and is pleasing to Krishna, which you execute constantly and favorably to the Lord. That's bhakti, pure bhakti, kevala bhakti. We see by definition that somebody who has hidden motives or some sinister hidden agenda is not acting within the codes of pure bhakti. Pure bhakti is the panacea and the only way of extricating ourselves from conditional existence. As long as we identify with this body and try to enjoy separately of Krishna in this body, we will suffer. Sense gratification means suffering. Sharir mone dukh. This body is a sum and substance of our attempt to enjoy separately of Krishna. Somebody may think to keep the body young looking, prim and proper, everything in place. However, the body is material and it will die. It's asa. Also, even if we are happy in a miserable place, Krishna says, dukkalayam ashashati. It's temporary. Some people may be so blinded to the suffering that they're going through, and they're making so many plans and arrangements to enjoy in this material world, that they forget it's a miserable place. They numb themselves with sense gratification and intoxicants to the extent that they don't feel the pains of material existences anymore. And they think they can live, but ashashvat, they cannot live forever. Mother Earth and Kali both threw themselves at the mercy of the Vaishnava, Maharaj Pritha. We can follow suit. One of the six loving exchanges, Dadati Pratigriyati Guyam Akyati Prichati Bhungte Bojayate Chaiva Sadvidam Piti Lakkanam. One of these exchanges is to reveal one's mind in confidence. His Holiness Kadamakana Namar says that a Vaishnava never acts alone. We are very safe being protected by the advice of our senior god cousins, our spiritual uncles and aunties, and we should always take shiksha, advice, instruction on how to execute devotional service. Another point I thought of is the qualities of others. Whatever you do in Mayapur is magnified. Your service, your enthusiasm, your inspiration is magnified. Also, any offense that you cause in Mayapur is also magnified. So, when the Panchatattva was installed here in Mayapur in 2004, right? His Holiness Shishimad Bhakti Teta Swami Maharaj gave a class. And in that class, Maharaj said that this new arrival of the Panchatattva establishing the deity worship here in Mayapur is indicating that we should now step up ourselves a few gears. The bar, the transcendental bar has been raised, and we have to raise our own consciousness. And he mentioned specifically that in terms of our environment, how we react to people in our environment is specifically what he is talking about by raising the bar. Our reciprocations, our interactions with devotees must be first class. We should understand that if we feel that Krishna is dear to us, the devotees of Krishna must also be dear to us. Not that we view only the deity and everybody else doesn't matter. That's the view of a neophyte. We should try and be more pleasant, practice some austerity of speech. What is that mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita? Words which are pleasing, beneficial, regularly reciting the Vedic literatures, and truthful. These are austerities of speech. And thus we can find ourselves purified by dealing with the devotees with nice speeches. I have much more to say, but I think I'll stop at one point, and that is appreciating devotees. If we appreciate the good qualities in some devotee, we develop those good qualities in ourselves. If we find fault in others, that fault will manifest itself within ourselves. So we should be very cautious to always try and see the good in others. Try and be a honey bee rather than a fly. A fly is always looking for nasty things. Where is garbage? Where is stool? Where is all sorts of drains and obnoxious things? But the honey bee is only going for honey. Like this chatak bird. Chatak bird is taking water only from the rain cloud. So we should be very chaste to our founder Acharya, obeying his final instruction, which is to cooperate and serve together as a family. This is very much needed. We need each other. We need each other. Don't fool yourselves that you can do it alone. It's described that one stick can be broke very easily. Even a bamboo, it may shatter, but a stick by itself can break very easily. But a bundle of sticks together is very difficult. It will take much more effort. So in this sense, keeping in the association of devotees, it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that your bhakti lata is protected by fencing it with association of advanced pure devotees. In that case, you are safe. Keep in the association of the devotees of Krishna. And over the last week, I've had the anxiety of trying to prepare for this class on my head. Like there's a sword of Damocles, the sword of Damocles hanging over my head. When is class? Oh, it's almost Friday. I was speaking to many devotees to get some advice. And my realization from those speaking is that every devotee has something to offer. If Krishna can take something from Putana and give her the highest reward, am I better than Krishna not to see the good quality in this devotee? Every devotee has something good to offer. We should have bee consciousness and not fly consciousness. In that way, we can be attracted to the many good qualities that the devotee has. Because once you see one, you'll see, wait a minute, he also has that. She also has that. This person is not so bad after all. And the more you focus on glorifying the good qualities in others and minimizing the negatives, and the more you focus on minimizing your glories and maximizing your negatives, you will advance exponentially in Krishna consciousness. I thank you very much. We'll end here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki. Now I place myself on the firing squad. If there's any questions, is Krishna Arjan Prabhupada. Shoot away.
I offer this at your feet. This question that you were talking about austerity, and I just wanted to really know more about especially your realizations on this point on the need for austerity besides just doing a routine job done, just getting our 16 rounds finished, and you know, I mean, whatever is the basic minimum that is expected, I have done it. So what need is there for extra austerities to, and how they can help? Krishna asks.
The austerities you're speaking about is specifically related to sadhana? Okay. Okay, sadhana. Let's take sadhana. Because it's a very broad topic. First, let's look at the purpose of performing austerities. It is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that austerities are the wealth of the Brahman. So it's necessary. It is needed. How it's applied is very important. Because if you misapply a thing, it can bring great harm. Prabhupada used the example of a razor. Razor can clean very nicely, but a little inattentiveness immediately there is blood. So austerity, tapasya, same thing. What is the motive and purpose behind your austerity? It should be to please Krishna and for you to advance in Krishna consciousness. If that austerity is not improving your consciousness of Krishna, you should abandon it. Sometimes you take out extra austerity and torture the body. It's described in the Bhagavad Gita that those people who torture the body and the super soul dwelling in are called demons. So you should be very careful not to perform more than what our body and our consciousness and our ability can handle, because you may get fanatical. But some austerity should be there. It's required. Like I mentioned, the Bhagavatam, the Brahmanas say that austerity is the wealth of the Brahmana. Let's look at sadhana specifically. Sadhana specifically is that attending the full morning program, or at least part of the morning program, is an austerity. It is the tendency of people to take rest, sometimes extra rest, and to sacrifice that tendency where everybody besides Hare Krishna devotees are, you know, fast asleep. We are awake and we're trying to make a connection with Krishna. Why? Because that specific time is Mangala, it's auspicious. And we take the austerity to rise early by 3:30 or 4:15, take our baths, come to the temple, greet the deities, because we're doing it to please the Lord and to please the spiritual master. It is described that simply by this sadhana process, some raga will manifest in the heart. Prabhupada gives examples of a person who comes only for Mangal Aarti. He dresses the deity very elaborately out of duty for the spiritual master. I vow to chant 16 rounds every day, follow these four regulative principles. Your name is such and such das. Thank you very much. So out of obligation to that vow, you fulfill this attending the morning program. Out of duty. Out of duty. Not spontaneity. However, through regulated process and practice of that sadhana, they will manifest some raga within the heart, some attraction, some spontaneity. We will say, the pujari is coming just to attend the morning program and do his service. He starts to decorate the deities with more elaborate outfits. He starts to plan in his mind during the day, how can I make these outfits more beautiful, attractive, for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna? And in that way, the Radha aspect develops. The Radhatmika devotees are already on that platform. We can never become Radhatmika devotees. However, we can aspire to follow in their footsteps. And that's called Radha Noga Bhakti. That is our process. We take to the path of Radha Noga Bhakti, Sadhana Bhakti, while still maintaining the practice of regular sadhana, of chanting, four regulative principles. Internally, we cultivate the mood of aspiring to follow in the footsteps of those exalted associates of the Lord. So austerity in terms of sadhana will increase the intensity of your practice and bring you closer to the Raga Noga and the Ragatmika platform. It is an impetus, it is fuel to the fire of bhakti. And in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there's also the verse Anasaktasya Vishayan Yataram Yataram Upayunjataha Nirbanda Krishna Sambande Yuktam Aragyam Uchati. Of the many types of angas of bhakti mentioned in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Five are the most potent. What is that? Chanting the holy name of the Lord, residing in a holy place, hearing the Shastra, worshipping the deity, association with the Vaishnavas. So these five, of those five, there's one which is the most potent. What is that? Naam Kirtan. Most potent. So Prabhupada is so intelligent and astute that he fit all five angas of bhakti, most potent forms of bhakti, within the morning program. Furthermore, we are encouraged to chant 16, I beg your pardon, we are encouraged to chant more than 16 on the day you take your Diksha vow. Do you know that? Why is that? What is your vow? Guru Maharaj, I vow to chant 16 rounds. Minimum. You vow to chant a minimum of 16 rounds. That's also a very intelligent clause by Prabhupada. Because you know, sometimes people may not have such spontaneous attraction to chant that 17th, 18th, 19th round. So he said minimum. Initially, we don't have the taste. Some people do, they are blessed and fortunate. However, it's a diseased condition. Sugar candy is sweet, but for one who is afflicted by jaundice, candy appears bitter. But the very treatment for that jaundice is to accept that bitter sugar candy. And by taking that bitter sugar candy, the disease itself is destroyed at the root. So continue chanting. Brahmananda asked Prabhupada the question. Brahmananda Prabhu, he asked Prabhupada the question, what is more important, Srila Prabhupada, quality in chanting or quantity of chanting? Prabhupada says, first quality should be there. And then when quality is there, automatically quantity will come. But the minimum quantity of 16 means that it should be done as part of your sadhana. And as time goes by, you get some taste and you do it out of spontaneity. And Prabhupada quoted an example in that. He said that, like me, I get up at midnight and I work on these translations. Is anybody asking me to do that? But I do it every day. Why? Because I want to. That is quality. Then automatically you want to chant more. Rupa Goswami says, what use is one tongue and two ears? Let me have millions of tongues and millions of ears so I can taste this name more and more and more. You should understand that the holy name is unlimited. And our exposure to him more and more will allow us to get closer to him more and more and experience his shelter and mercy more and more. But that going deeper is unlimited. A depthless ocean of mercy. Let us all swim in that nectar of ocean of devotion together. Time's up, I think. If there are any further questions, we can have after I stop. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki, O Premanand.